Lucy, I'm home.
Hi, guys. Welcome back to Having a Ball podcast. I am your host, Erica.
And I'm Ziva.
And today's episode recap we're doing is The Kleptomaniac that aired April 14th, 1952. Directed by Mark Daniels, written by Jess Oppenheimer, Madeline Pugh Davis, and Bob Carroll Jr. And the synopsis for this episode is Lucy is the chairman of a bazaar for her club, but doesn't tell Ricky. And when he finds all the cash and donations that are hidden in the apartment, he accuses her of being a compulsive thief. Dun, dun, dun. A kleptomaniac. Now, before the I Love Lucy episode, did you know what a kleptomaniac was or is? Okay, so you're smarter than all of us. Okay, so
I didn't say that.
Other than I Love Lucy, you know, years ago, it's just not a word that I would use. Just a thief or a crook.
Well, they're different.
Oh yeah, that's true. They are. One is a
kleptomaniac's like a medically
a recurrent inability to resist urges to steal items that you generally don't even need. Or have little value. Yep.
So just, right. And oftentimes they can pay for it themselves. It's just
the urge.
An impulse control, like a behavioral problem.
You can't help yourself. So that's what he thinks she's up to, or that's happening with her because of, well, her having cash and her having items. Now, is it more of the behavior that she exhibits, you think, throughout the episode?
I don't know. Like in my notes, I was like, you've been with your wife how many years, and all of a sudden you're like accusing her of this really big thing, like
a criminal.
You think that after 10 years with someone, if they were truly a kleptomaniac, you would know. This would be something where I'd just be like, all right, what's going on? Like, not that you're stealing things, but like there's got to be an answer. What is it?
Mm-hmm. Like, where are all these things coming from? Like,
right.
Yeah, all of a sudden. But I think also it's coupled with her behavior, which is so exaggerated that it makes her look suspicious a little bit. So it starts off with her flipping pancakes and one of them landing on the ceiling. Do you flip pancakes like that, or you just kind of like gingerly turn them over?
Just flip them like a normal person. But... with a spatula, flip it over.
Yeah,
I'm not trying to throw my food on the ceiling, but I do have a video of Colin flipping an egg with just the pan and over easy. Like he didn't even break it; he just flipped it. It was like fried over easy egg, and he is
pretty talented.
I was like, all right,
that's pretty cool. Yeah, that's pretty cool. It is always much like pizza episode that's associated with Lucy, the actual. Pizza artists that do the whole spinning probably in Italy or just to put on a show for people. It is interesting, you know, fascinating that you can not drop things or
okay. Like, so, it's impressive. You can keep food in a pan.
And so Ethel comes in. Now I've read a few things or a couple of things where one, it was planned and one, it was accidental and just beautifully executed to be hilarious.
It fell on her head.
Yeah. And she was really caught off guard because it's hilarious. It could go either way. So
she's basically wanting to do it like the restaurants do it. And they get to talking. The reason that Ethel has come up is to give her, what, $200, buy the entertainment, pay the people for the entertainment and buy whatever they need for this bazaar.
I love that apron she's wearing. It's got like a little heart on it. I don't know if you noticed that.
Oh my gosh. So I like... the second one she's wearing better.
Oh really?
I like noted it. Oh my gosh, it's so pretty. It's like really elegant. Mm-hmm. I was like, also because it's just really thin, and I was like, is that supposed to protect your clothes? Because it's not.
It's more like a nightgown type of thing, as opposed
to something. But
so of course, and they're not wanting to let Ricky know because she is forbidden from hosting more club events
because of the incident with the firecrackers. Now everyone's gonna be like, Ziva, why are you like this? But I'm just gonna say, if someone set off firecrackers and Roman candles
that too
in a fireplace, and you're like like skyrockets in Roman candles. I'm guessing that she stuffed them up into the fireplace.
Yeah.
And he threw them in there and then it lit. Like that would cause a lot of damage, I think. Mm-hmm. And I know it's meant to be funny, but I think that it was.
And his eyebrows didn't grow in for a month. That sounds pretty traumatic and making fun of his little baby toupees.
But also it's like, how close was he when he was starting the fire?
Probably inspecting it or trying to make it work, you know, like well. And
he's maybe he's doing that thing where you like get really close and you blow on it to try to make the flames go higher, and it did, and then boom.
Yeah, no, it does sound pretty traumatic. I mean, it's funny and all, but I would probably say, yeah, you're not gonna do that. I mean, especially if it affected you where you could be very injured, you know. But that's where she's like, you know, don't let him know. Of course not. But so he comes in and
she brings Ethel.
Oh, yeah. Into the closet area.
To the coat closet. Is it not their coat closet?
It is their coat closet. And so I even wrote on my notes.
Does Ricky not hang up?
I wrote, does he never open that closet? Because seriously, he has to leave. It might get cold. I don't know what month it's supposed to be in, but he might grab a hat.
You got to believe that sometimes she would get the coat for him. But like, if all of a sudden she was taking his coat and shoes every time he came home and giving it to him every time we left.
And it's not like it's an extensive home where it's like, it's in one of the closets. This is the closet. That's where she's
closet.
Choosing to hide. Now, given the image of the apartments that you had of her apartment, where would you have hidden it that you don't think he'll look? He'll walk right past. Because I have an idea.
Why doesn't she hide it in her closet?
Maybe let's assume there's no room because her clothes or something. He doesn't do the cooking.
I was going to say the kitchen, because even when he puts her on a budget, she's got that whole like grocery store.
Oh, that's right.
The kitchen, and he doesn't even know, you know, so like,
or maybe under a couch or a chair
place, maybe.
Although he has some bulky items too. Oh gosh.
Yeah. I was going to say some of those are big. And so maybe they'd have to go in a closet, but even with the clothes, you could just, and that would be even better because you could like hide them behind the clothes, you know, like have the drape.
Yeah, that's clothes true.
Draped over it.
Yeah, this would work better in what season is it? Is it season 3 when they move to the bigger apartment? More hiding places. Anyway.
Just to have little Ricky's room just stuck.
All his baby clothes. Oh my gosh. And so,
Wait. Yeah, and when she's showing her this, you get a good view of everything that's in there. But I know I've been pointing about paintings before. And I knew this painting even without the notes because my mom really, really likes Degas. There's a book that we used to have called The Little Dancer.
Okay.
It was about the ballerina, and it had all of like Degas' artwork and stuff. And so this painting is called The Star. We see it here and then it's moved. So you were talking about when they move
apartments.
It's moved into like the living room. So it's very prominent. And you see it in many, many of the apartment shots then from then on out when they move. But this is, I don't know, it's a really cool painting. It's basically just a ballerina. I mean, she's on point.
Yeah,
I don't know if you've ever seen Degas' artwork, then you might know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, Degas is Degas.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, you wouldn't have guessed it, but there's a whole website. It's edgardegas.net where you can see all of his paintings, and they give you a little bit of a like description of each one.
Okay.
And tells you when it was painted and stuff. So it's just really interesting if you like that sort of stuff.
Because they do pick random pieces of art throughout I Love Lucy, and it's neat to kind of get history on some of those.
Anyways, so now we can move on.
She showed her all of that. And she's like, wow, it's like a treasure trove inside there. And so they moved again towards the kitchen. That's when she leaves. And it's like, you know, don't tell Ricky, you know. Okay. So then Ricky comes in you know, demanding his breakfast from afar. The way he yells it every time. They live so close together. It just, you know, it's unnecessary to be so loud. So he comes into the kitchen, you know, and she, and he says, oh, she's making the pancakes. And he's like, oh,
tortillas.
And she's, yeah. And she's like, I made it with Aunt Jemima tortilla mix.
Yes. Which, I'm sorry, but is that a thing? Not like, I'm not saying it in a mean way. Is that what they call pancakes?
No, they don't.
In Spanish? That's, what do you call pancakes?
Actually, just pancakes.
Oh, so he's just...
He's just getting it
stupid?
Wrong.
No.
No.
He's still waking up.
He's just waking up. And so he just assumes everything that's flat is a tortilla. But no, they're called pancakes.
Aunt Jemima.
Yeah. Aunt Jemima, of course, the...
Everyone knows until Aunt Jemima, right?
Until 2021 was a very infamous pancake mix brand name, but it was changed to the Pearl Milling Company in 2021, just based on, you know, times have changed and
people. I was going to say there's some things
Aunt Jemima on the box.
I was going to say there's some things that have changed, and I'm like, why has that changed? Mm-hmm. I'm not mad about this one.
Yes. Yes. Because this was big in 2021. And when I was educated on what the Aunt Jemima brand was, it was shocking because I didn't know. So it was, this one was by the Quaker Oats Company, first registered mm-hmm. Aunt Jemima trademark in April of 1937, but first marketed in 1889. So they've been around a very long time, this company, but now they're the Pearl Milling Company. Looks like the same box when you go to the pancake aisle, but
mm-hmm. yeah, it's still known. I don't think changing, getting rid of something that's outdated hurt them at all.
No.
But so he calls them flap cakes once he realizes what they are, but it's either flapjacks or hot cakes.
No, he calls them flat cakes or hot jacks.
He calls them flap, or I wrote it down. He calls them flap cakes.
Right. Or hot jacks. Right. Because she looks at him like, no, you're wrong. So he just mix them all up. Because you were closer with tortillas.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Did you look up what Mad Money is? Am I just like going? So before I jumped, but really it's pretty quickly after he says, these are cold. Which, by the way, why didn't she put them in the oven to keep them warm? That's what my grandma always did when she was baking large quantities of stuff. And she made a lot of pancakes for him to just not eat any of them. Because there was the ones on the plate and then a whole plate full of a stack of them. And then she made more. He says, nope, all this hard work. Just kidding. I have to go. Not going to eat it. But I need money for a cab.
Which is seriously one of the... if not the only time I've ever heard him ask her. Now I get it. He's not asking her for money.
No, he's saying, I'm going to take it.
Well,
if it's in your purse, I'm going to take it.
What I mean is the money that she received was most likely from him if she has any in her purse, but he needs change for the transportation that he's going to take. But it's the first time I've ever heard him ask her like that, except that other episode where you pointed out where she's doing the marketing and she's in a fancy dress. She's got a ton of money now. And she's like,
here,
get a haircut.
He has no money.
Yes.
Here, get yourself a shave.
So he discovers almost $200 of cash, which is unheard of for her to have. That's a tremendous amount. I didn't do the inflation.
$2,000? Keep talking.
Okay. He's looking at it like, well, here's where she makes a mistake. Now, he was going to find it anyway because he opened up her purse, but she like completely loses it. And it's like, wait, no, I have no money. I have no money. You know, like, and rushes over to
close
it.
Because she forgot. Right, she
was but you look more suspicious when you jump like that.
True, but I feel like if I had forgotten, like if it just slipped my mind, right, and I was trying to hide something from Colin, and then I pointed him right in the direction of what I was trying to hide, like I feel like I'd freak out too, be like, no, redirect, do something. It's $2,211 nowadays.
Oh.
That's okay. A lot of money.
Yeah.
Having and your purse.
So what was I going to say? Now, the running joke or the running theme is that Fred is cheap, right? And Ethel's always like not wanting Fred to know that she's got money. I mean, throughout the entire series, we have that sometimes happening. I'm surprised. Now, they do use this later in the episode, but I'm surprised that instead of freaking out, right, she didn't let it happen. Him going like, whose money is this? And her going, oh, it's Ethel's. You know how she tries to hide money from Fred and move on. Now, I get it. She does use that later, but it's always there. The excuse is always there because Fred is always cheap. And so I'm just wondering, you know, why she didn't immediately go to that, which would be interesting. He's like, where did you get all this money? And, he, you know, she's stumbling over her words, not wanting him to know where she got this. Did you earn it? Did you borrow it? Did you steal it? And she's like yes, yeah,
that one.
Which one? Any of them. Pick one. And he wants an explanation as to where, you know, where she got this money. And so she goes into a fake, well, if you must know, she stole it, you know.
Yeah.
Which is silly. But
He knows, well, at the time he thinks he knows it's not true, right? And he's like, okay, well, I want an answer by this. For this, which, by the way, if Colin demanded an answer for something by afternoon, I'd be like, please reevaluate the tone in which you're speaking to me. Thank you.
Yeah, it is kind of an odd way to speak to your wife about it, to say, you know, by this time this afternoon, I would like an explanation as to where this cash came from, which, by the way, you're giving her an entire day to come up with something. So, I mean, who is, you know, who's being funny here? She continues to make her pancakes. He leaves wanting to know about where this money came from. Then it cuts to, I believe, to her bringing in more items after he comes home from work. He comes home from work later that day. And he's like, Lucy, and she's like, you know, Rick, and he hides behind the door, the kitchen door, and she sneaks into the apartment calling out his name. He doesn't answer, so she assumes she's alone because she's got more stuff to bring in for the bazaar.
And that happens before the cuckoo clock, right? She brings it in, and then the cuckoo clock happens.
Yeah, no.
Okay, the but what's mad money?
She gets awful mad. I don't know.
But what is that? Is that a thing? Like,
keep talking. Let me find out.
Okay. but so yeah, she calls in and she wants to see if Ricky is there, and obviously Ricky is, but he's not seen and he doesn't answer. And all of a sudden he sees her coming in with a
Mad money is discretionary money that is set aside for an emergency or for personal use. Mad money is a bit of cash set aside for personal reasons. So
I wonder why it's called mad money though.
Because I wasn't thinking mad like angry. I was thinking mad like crazy. But I don't think it's either.
Maybe.
So there's that. Oh, why do they call it mad money? The first meaning uses mad in the sense of angry.
Oh gosh.
It's totally
what I was like, I need sad money then.
Money
that's when I spend money.
Money is used money to be used by a woman angry at her date, either owing to his making unwanted advances. This is taking a turn I didn't even think of. Flirting with other women or some such reason. It dates from the 1920s when respectable women began to go out with men without benefit or a chaperone.
So they spend their money? Do they spend the men's money because they're mad?
No, I think it's to point out that when you went out on a date back then, you assume that the man is picking you up, taking you out, paying for it. You probably have no money because you're a female. And maybe it started to shift where women would stash away their own money. Women were getting mad because they were being disrespected. Perhaps, you know, they're at a date and they can't do anything because your date is flirting with someone.
Maybe
and
they want to be able to pay and leave. Like, fine.
Exactly.
I got this.
Or get a taxi themselves.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
The subway or something. But they were
I mean,
were
that makes
stuck.
Sense.
they were stuck because they had no money. So they got mad and they got money and now they have mad money. This is where it all comes full circle.
All right. Well, Lucy's awfully mad.
So she's very mad. So she says awfully mad, but that's not what this was.
That's all right. No. But she's bringing in some expensive looking things
in her coat.
I don't know what they are.
Yeah. Yeah, they look like kind of.
Well, she's not. They're big. She can't even put it in her coat. She's like
vases. You've got little statuettes. Vases. Yeah, things like that.
Yeah, but she brings both of them in, and Ricky sees it. Of course, you know, he sees the closet that she's storing this all in, and as shocked. She's standing there, mm-hmm. I'm so sorry. He has a coat over his arm. One has to wonder, where did you get that coat from? The coat closet.
That's a good point, Miss Ziva. Where are That's you a put very that good coat? Point because it wasn't in the bedroom closet. They don't keep such coats in there. At least I assume they don't. So
just for this episode, they do.
That's a good point. So he's like, you know, his eyes are bugging out as to what in the world. So we've got the cash that she can't explain. She's sneaking in this coat, all kinds of items that don't belong to us. And she's hiding them in the closet. And, you know, and then
candlesticks was one of them.
The candlesticks. Sorry.
I just thought of that.
Remember the country episode where she gives Ethel one of the candlesticks and she's like, oh my God. No. Is it Ethel that gives her? Yeah. Ethel gives her one as a homecoming.
A home warming? Like a.
Yeah. Home warming.
Housewarming.
Gift. Housewarming. Yeah. My God. I can't think of words. Words. Today. They escape me. This is mad money moments.
Can I send you a dictionary?
Yes. It's a housewarming gift. And she's like, oh my God, I have one just like that. And it's the same one she gave her and just wrapped it up. Okay. So Ricky goes downstairs to speak to Fred, who's behind the couch fixing something to kind of, now he's really worried because he's convinced, you know, he's come to the conclusion that she's a thief. So he goes downstairs and
wait. Ethel definitely comes in before they talk. So he leaves and Ethel comes in.
And does what?
And talks to her about, she just says hi, because this is where she gets Lucy to go get the cuckoo clock. There's no reason for Lucy to go down to get the cuckoo. Oh, yeah. Look at you.
Because I was thinking about the time later on where she
wrong.
I think we need to restart this episode. I'm going to go watch it and I'll be right back. And remember what show we're watching today. You're right.
Yeah.
Ethel comes in and she's like, oh my God, Ricky almost, you know, caught me putting stuff away, but he caught me with the money. And that's where
she asks Ethel, hey, can I say it's your money? And Ethel's like, sure, if you do one thing for me. She says, I hate this cuckoo clock that Fred has, drives me crazy. I want you to take it
and auction it off.
And Lucy's like, I can't just take it. And that's where Ethel, sneaky, sneaky woman, is like, I bought another clock. It's down there. So I'm just going to tell you to go get a clock. And you don't know which one. So
that's
just
really sneaky.
Take the cuckoo clock.
And so really good. That's really good. And she, you know, she's like, she's surprised at how the quickness in which she thought of this sneaky plan. Because usually it's Lucy.
Okay, Ethel. But they agree. And that is when we cut to Fred and
Ricky
behind the couch. Speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And he's like, you know, I've got a problem. And of course, Fred's line, you should have thought of that before you married her. Oh my God.
So mean.
How dare you, sir? How dare you? So she's, you know, he is saying, you know, I'm concerned. I saw her have money in her purse. She's sneaking in with all these items that don't belong to us. There's thousands of dollars worth of items in that closet that probably don't belong to us. And Fred's like, you think she's a kleptomaniac? He's like, no, I just think she's a person who likes to steal things and can't help it. And he said, that's what
What did he think a kleptomaniac meant?
Oh, him.
And he was like, no, I just think someone who steals things. I
think he was just going along with, no, I don't know. Because for, you know, English being a second language and hearing such a big word like that, it goes over your head unless you actually have studied it. But I have no idea. So he tells her, or he tells him, you know, no, you're wrong. You know, just come help me and we'll figure it out later. Just, it's probably nothing. So then Lucy announces herself, kind of, you know, asking to see if
Fred.
Yeah.
And hello, he's like, Fred.
My question is, they don't know that she's coming in to quote unquote steal something. I mean, what if she's just coming down to visit? Why would Fred want to hide? Unless she's stealing one of his coats too, and she's Madame X.
Ethel says that he got the clock. I think he won it on Coney Island. It is an amusement park. It was just the island, Coney Island, was discovered in 1609 by a Dutch explorer named Henry Hudson. It became an amusement resort during the 1870s and the 1880s. A few luxury hotels were built, and then a railroad was extended right out to the resort. And it was basically described as heaven at the end of a subway ride.
Oh,
yeah.
That does sound nice.
So, I mean, there was lots of rides, there were Ferris wheels, there were events, you know, fireworks, a lot going on there. If you're at all interested, I can put another link when this comes out.
Is
a whole history of it.
Coney Island still like that now with the same sort of
I know they still have amusement parks
area.
And I know that it still says that they've got the best hot dogs. And I know there's still fireworks, so maybe.
Is that where they have the Nathan's Hot Dogs competition on Coney Island? I think it is. I could be wrong. If anyone is listening that has been to Coney Island, please tell us a little bit about modern day.
Someone who's been there, yeah.
Yeah, 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 because that would be really interesting. Okay, so she goes in, you know, after assuming no one's home. She's got that big coat. The men are hiding behind the couch. She sneaks in and she does do the honorable thing. Like if someone was watching her via a surveillance camera, okay, she does do the thing. She doesn't just run in and take the cuckoo clock. She picks up the other one, puts it down, picks up the cuckoo clock, and then puts that in her coat before taking an apple and stealing something else.
Stealing the apple. We did. We do get to see a lovely advertisement.
Oh yes, or
brand placement of Philip Morris.
Yes, no one touches it or anything.
Nothing was said. No. Right, no smoking or anything.
It's just
but
there.
It was there. Yeah. So,
how do you feel about cuckoo clocks?
I don't ever want one in my house.
How do you feel about, you know, those like grandfather clocks? How do you feel about any kind of clocks that makes noise at every hour
in my home? My parents have a chiming clock. It's like a grandfather clock, but it's a small one. It hangs on the wall. And my mom is like, I'm going to get you one of these for your wedding present. And she was saying that because she knows how much I hate it.
Ah.
I was like, I don't need a chime to tell me what time it is every time. There's thankfully like quiets as it gets later. Mm-hmm. Like they have this thing where after a certain hour, it's very, very quiet, but still.
Yeah. No, we have a grandfather clock, and maybe we thought we'd enjoy it for a good 2 to 3 days. It's been 17 years. That thing has not been turned on because it's like, oh, okay.
Maybe I like how they look.
No, they're beautiful. Some are just beautiful pieces of furniture.
Beautiful, for sure.
Absolutely.
Just but, don't make any sound.
Yeah. Or maybe once a day at noon. So at least I know, you know, it's noon or something.
Okay. But it's halfway through the day. Sure. I'm not in the house long. I can accept that.
Every hour is a little much. It's kind of like people who live near churches, right? I mean, at some point. Okay, we're getting off topic. Okay, so she takes
here for that too.
She takes the cuckoo clock, she steals it, the apple, and they're, you know, they run out from behind the couch and like, see, she took the clog. Mm-hmm. And she's, you know, and he's like, hold on. Fred's starting to be very understanding at first, you know,
until then he realizes, wait,
the crook took my that crook stole my crook clog, you know. But first, you know, she can't help it, she's ill, she, you know, we need to get her help before he realizes that his beloved cuckoo clock is now gone. And he's like, you'll get it back, the most important thing is that we get her help, because she needs a psychiatrist. Now, in his defense, that's a really weird word to sound out if you don't know English very well. So psychiatrist sounds about right.
He doesn't. So they run upstairs and like
they meet her at the door. Yeah.
Before we leave the Mertz's apartment, what are your feelings on their wallpaper?
Oh gosh, I didn't take a snapshot in my mind about the wallpaper, but I'm sure you
didn't even need a snapshot.
What was it?
It's just so busy. I don't know. I'm not a big wallpaper fan. And definitely not where like it's just bold and like in your face. I'm like, how am I supposed to hang anything on the walls?
See, I don't remember.
Nothing's going to go with
the last time I had wallpaper. And I've seen, you know, I think it's a new, you know, everything old is new again. So wallpaper is sort of back in, but it's very subtle. You know, like you barely notice that it is wallpaper as opposed to like floral designs and zigzags or stripes or something, or like Lucy and Ethel putting up the wallpaper.
Oh my gosh.
It's not like that now, but some are stunning
stripes.
Yeah. Some are very, very beautiful to look at, but I didn't pay attention to.
Oh my gosh.
They chase after her, when she's in the apartment now, because, you know, and she's got the apple in her mouth, and they like, hey, what's up? Nothing, you know, and they're not letting
it. So weird.
Everyone's being so weird.
Everyone is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is a great example of her comedic timing though.
Oh, it's great. It's really, really good. So
she always does the cuckoo on the offbeat, you know, like when it's already cuckooed, and then she cuckoos
right after it. Yeah. And yeah, so she's got the clock in her coat. This is what we're referring to, that it's going to go off, you know, as it should, and we're just supposed to pretend that it's not happening. At least she's hoping that you pretend it's not happening. And they're like, so what's that? Actually, first they notice how big and bulky she is.
Yeah.
And she's like, too much cake and pie lately. And
so, just one day get to that one afternoon,
and she's wearing that big coat. And
also, don't cuckoo clocks have like a bird that come out?
That's what the cuckoo bird is.
Right.
Yes.
So she's holding it inside of her jacket. Is the cuckoo bird like hitting her in the stomach?
It's like the beak is like poking her. Maybe. Because we never saw it in action. We just saw the little clock on the table. But
it'd then be really funny if like the little bird's head poked
out of the coat. Like, and
but yes,
it's starting to go off. The cuckoo sounds are. And she's trying to explain her way out of it and saying that she's taken up making bird sounds, bird noises.
Calls, yeah.
Calls. And yeah, so she says that she is a South African yellow-bellied sapsucker is the noise that she's making.
What was it?
The South African yellow-bellied sapsucker. But it looks like, just based on the comedic expression she's making, that she's just making it up as she goes. I don't know that it's a real bird.
A yellow-bellied sapsucker, mostly black and white with boldly patterned faces. Both sexes have red foreheads, and males also have red throats. So yellow belly sapsuckers are a thing.
Are they from South Africa? Because if they are, that would be great.
I don't know.
Okay. Well, obviously what she's doing is putting together different parts of bird names, bird names. And I guess they do exist. And so she does then do the infamous hummingbird, which is
Like, what is that?
What is that? It's a hummingbird, silly.
Is it the sparrow? there was one that she sounded really good, and then the cuckoos kept.
Oh, you mean the whistling?
Interrupting her.
I think she does some whistling.
Good whistling.
Yeah, yeah. She's trying to get to the her bedroom, and Fred keeps trying to block her. I mean, everyone's acting so awkward in this scene, and no one's addressing the awkwardness.
Just talk about it, like, hey, we saw you take this. What's up?
Yeah, what's going on? We know you're not a thief. Just tell us what's going on.
Yeah, what's going on?
But then we wouldn't have an episode. Lucy, we say this every time. She runs into her room.
Lucy goes back to her room. Yeah, and Ricky, this is where Ricky says, okay, wait, you'll get the clock back, but let's just make sure Lucy's okay.
Yeah.
And that's when he says, we'll call a
physiatrist.
A physiatrist. Mm-hmm. And Fred's like, yeah, you should, for you.
Yeah, a head doctor.
Can't say it. Yeah. But that's, they go downstairs, and this is where Ethel overhears them calling the doctor. She comes up, of course she does,
to tell, and you know, and she's like aggressively, Lucy. She starts to aggressively peel the potato or whatever she's doing.
I was like, do you get aggressive when you're mad towards inanimate objects?
Yes. Yeah. But yeah, especially when I'm baking, it's
things get slammed a little bit harder than they need to,
or like laundry gets folded maybe a little more slammed, aggressively.
Right, but they get put down.
Yeah,
things are a little bit louder than mm-hmm. they need to be.
Doors get closed a little harder than they should. But yeah. So Ethel came up to tell her that the guys called a doctor because they think she's losing her mind, or that she's, you know, a thief, a kleptomaniac. And that she needs help ASAP. And she's very insulted. He thinks I'm taking things, you know, of course I've been taking things, but he thinks I've been taking things. I mean, you know, and she said, well, you have to see what he sees. He sees you taking items and got money and, you know, and you get to explain what's happening. And so he thinks that you're a thief. So he wants to get you some help. Of course, all of this without talking to her. I mean, just talk to your wife. And, now they turn into, he said, well, I'm going to, you know, turn this around on him because of course, and she ropes in Ethel to essentially become gangsters.
Leads her into it. Right.
And so
grabs her shirt,
becomes, now you see that she lifts up her shirt a little bit, which was unplanned, I'm sure. And it stayed in the show.
So when I saw that, right, I was like, it's obvious that she has a shirt on underneath. Mm-hmm. Like maybe it does look like it's revealing her stomach, but maybe she had her bottom shirt tucked in and that's why they kept it.
Maybe
it's just kind of hard to tell because there's obviously a shirt underneath.
Yeah.
But if it is her skin, then I was kind of surprised that stayed.
That was shown. And so she says, I love, because it's been a few times that they turn into gangsters on this show. And so she calls her baby face Ethel, you know, they're going to, she says, if you don't do this, I will spill the beans that it was your idea about the cuckoo clock caper.
Cuckoo clock.
And so she goes, okay. She goes along with it. And now they're going to be gangsters that, to play a, you know, win Ricky at his own game with the psychiatrist that she's got an issue of, and she robbed a bank. That's what the plot will be. So then Dr. Robinson comes in. That's
Tom. Call me Tom.
Tom. And that's played by Joseph Kearns, who was later played a manager in Lucy's Night in Town. I have not seen that episode in ages. Lucy's Night in Town. We'll get to it because it's season six. We'll get to it.
We'll get to it someday.
4 years. And he went on to play Mr. Wilson on TV's Dennis the Menace. He was born February 12th, 1907 in Salt Lake City, Utah. And he was also in Alice in Wonderland in 1951 and Anatomy of a Murder in 1959 and died in 1962 in LA. And when he passed away during the show's final season of Dennis the Menace, Lucy regular Gail Gordon took over for him. So everyone's just like intertwined playing his brother.
Yeah.
So he is playing Dr. Robinson. when they're waiting for Lucy.
Before they come, they get back before Babyface and Lucy the Lip come back.
yes.
The men are finding a bunch of things, right? This cigarette box is full of jewelry, and they find the plans to rob a bank. Chase National Bank, 72nd Street, which I love when he's like, "That's where I keep my money. This is serious." Okay. Wasn't serious until now.
Fred discovers the
they want him
plan.
To think, right, that they're going to go rob this bank. And then they come in shooting. Right.
Where did he get these guns, by the way? They just randomly have guns. She's got this hat on. She's got a leather jacket on.
The whole outfit.
It's hilarious. Yeah. So they're both gangsters.
The fake money.
Robbed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love when she says, what does she say? She says, "I got the foot. The eye in the foot and the foot in the eye.
The flat foot in a private eye. I got the foot. Yeah. In the foot. In the foot in the eye."
Yeah, so they come in, they're doing their whole gangster bit, freaking everyone out. There's one moment where Ethel goes to talk to Fred and he shakes her and like jewelry comes out.
Because he's like, "You gotta stop this life of crime." Yeah.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. And this is where Lucy loses it and she pulls out. And anyone who's a gun fan will know what she pulled out.
The Tommy gun.
Was it a Tommy gun?
Mm-hmm. That's why he says, "Let's put little Tommy to bed."
Okay. But you could definitely tell, like, as you're watching it, that this is a fully wooden gun. And I was like, because it's so big, I think that's why you notice it, because it's such a big, he's like, "All right, let's get you hypnotized." And he's like, "Let's take away this gun from you." And he's like, "All right, we're going to go get to the root of this problem, right? And you're going to go back. In time, back. I love how she's like,
she's moving
farther
back.
And farther away. And you can
back
see
to
Ethel
when he was a little girl.
Mm-hmm. Winks at her. So Ethel knows this is
not going to be real.
You know, not going to be real. And she starts speaking in her little kid voice, which, you know, is kind of, have you ever watched Major and the Minor, or the Major and the Minor?
That's with Ginger Rogers, right?
Ginger Rogers. This is an interesting premise. I just need to say that. Susan Applegate, tired of New York after 1 year and 25 jobs, decides to return home. Discovering she hasn't enough money for the train fare, Susan disguises herself as a 12-year-old and travels for half the price. Caught out by the conductor, she hides in the compartment of Major Philip Cribb, a military school instructor who takes the child under his wing.
That's where the
and
minor
then later
comes in.
Falls in love with her.
Oh.
I think it was
not released in 2022, I'll tell you that.
No, Billy Wilder infamously called his own directorial debut the first Hollywood film about pedophilia, which, okay guys, it's not.
Wow.
And it wasn't.
Yeah.
So if you watch it, the man who plays the Major is just not very smart. So they are very good at making it so that he doesn't show any interest in her in that way until after she's found out to be an adult.
I see.
Because it'd be really creepy if he, you know, it's still a bit creepy, like you have to admit, but so is Mulan, right? Where
we can go down a rabbit hole that we are not supposed to go down on Having a Ball podcast.
So sorry, let me reel it back in. So her
started doing
bit,
like a voice, yeah, like a
you
little
wanna
child.
Say it. You don't have to
well,
say
it all
it in
started
voice, but...
when I yeah, I'm not gonna do that. When I was a
do
little
it.
Girl,
no, go ahead.
Yeah. A little girl voice? Oh my. All right.
Yeah.
Well, it all started when I was a little girl.
I love it. Keep going.
I forgot the rest of it. I just remember that she took a bright new penny.
Riding on the street one day and looked up and saw a box and it said, "Take one."
So I took one.
Yeah.
She said, there's nothing wrong with
from
that.
From then on, anything that came into the pretty hand, my pretty hand of mine, I took, even though it didn't say take one. I took a bright new penny, took a bicycle.
I took a little boy. You took a little boy. Yes, but my mother made me give it back.
Listen, guys, we're just going to post the actual thing so that you can actually hear a correct, good version of that. But, but yes, so she does this whole thing. And I just, why? Why are they believing it?
Explaining the life of crime, where it began, because most things begin in your childhood, of course. And so she, she's saying that that's where that happened. And so she's, you know,
grows up a little bit.
Yeah. So she grows up and then she says she's.
Yeah. I love how it changes.
No, she picks pockets. She picked a pack of pockets.
And then purse snatching. Mm-hmm. I love when she's going through the purses and she's like, oh, caught that one faster than I thought.
Mm-hmm. With the mannequin hand.
On the mannequin arm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where did she get a whole box of purses?
Don't we all just have a box of purses? No.
No?
No, we don't.
you know, the psychiatrist is like, listen, this needs to stop, right? Mm-hmm. We gotta call an end to it. And Lucy throws down her gun. Is she holding the gun again? She throws down whatever she's holding. And she's like, you know what?
Well, she also grabs his watch, right?
Oh yeah,
steals his watch, and because he was looking at the time, took it for the time, and she has it
to see if he should go.
So yeah. She is pretty good at being a thief if she did pull that off.
She wanted to, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's pretty impressive. But yeah, so then.
But I gotta tell you, that whole bit where she's doing her being a thief, her comedic style is so great. I mean, her whole facial expression and Vivian, too, you know, can't take mm-hmm. that away because she turns into the whole robber gangster thing, too. But yeah, just all the expressions on her face when she's talking about being a little girl, teenager and all of that and how she changed. So you said she dropped in. You know what? I'm cured. I'm done. Sure.
Never going to
this life of crime.
Rob, steal anything ever again. And they're like, wait, how? What? And this is where she reveals that she's pulled off the biggest job she's ever wanted. All of her dreams have come true.
They went down to the Clyde Beatty Circus.
Now, did you look up anything about that?
No, because I knew you would.
Did you? You're like, Ziva's got this. Clyde Beatty was born June 10th, 1903. He passed away in 1965 on July 19th, mm-hmm. but he began his circus career as a cage boy. He learned his trade quickly, and he pretty quickly had his own animal act. And he had this very specific, like, fighting act style that a lot of people really liked and wanted, and so, or, you know, wanted to see more of. And so he actually was in a lot. So he was in the circus, but he was also in many movies, on radio shows, things like that. But he started his own show, and it was like in trucks, like
he had a moving truck.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm guessing like bigger trucks.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Who knows? It could have been a bigger truck, but it was trucks. And then he did so well that he moved it to trains. And I'm not going to tell you anymore because there's lots more, but it was really big. It was a really big circus. I will say that it kind of started going downhill a bit. But Frank McCloskey and Walter Kernan, they stepped in and bought the circus, kind of saved it from totally 100% dying out. And they reopened the show August 19th or 29th in New Mexico. He was active with the show until his death in 1965. So
okay.
A little bit about that.
Yeah. So she says she went there and they're trying to figure out what in the world would she have taken from the Clyde Beatty Circus. And she comes out with a baby elephant. Because
baby elephant.
Of course she does. Ask so many questions. So many
Where
questions.
Where did they get an elephant?
How did they get it? How did they bring it into the apartment building, up to their apartment, into the bedroom? Because that hallway, as we saw, is tight.
Not making any noise.
Yeah. And now what are they going to do with it? Who let them use this poor little baby elephant for their amusement? Borrow
this poor elephant. It looks like soaking wet also.
Yeah.
It's like they sprayed the elephant down.
And so, yeah, they're all kind of shocked after that. Like, what in the world just happened? And that's the end of the episode. There's really no closure. No, you know, I thought
at least, that's it. Yeah.
Yeah. You would at least, you know, bookend it with, okay, none of this is true. I'm getting back at you. And here's what's really happening. But no.
Nope. And this is the second time in 3 weeks that we've had a live animal on the show, because they had the horse and Pioneer Woman.
Oh, yes. And what's the other one?
The second time in 3 weeks. So this is the second time.
Oh, okay. No, I thought you said three.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. What are these random animals they are picking up? I don't understand.
Maybe she has a farmer friend.
That no one
with
mentions.
With an elephant randomly. Maybe she knows the people that run the circus.
Maybe. Oh my gosh.
I don't know. But anyways, that's that. That's the end of the episode.
Another silly episode that I think they get better in season 2, 3 and beyond. But yeah, these are just like they're testing them out. They're trying them out. Yeah, let us know what you guys think of this one. Is this a favorite? Is this one of those forgettable ones for you? You know, because everyone has those forgettable ones. And we got a lot of feedback from the dishwasher one that we just aired, which is the Pioneer Women. Some people are on board with dishwashers and some are not. So with that, we have a Twitter. We have maybe 2 followers. Well, and so let's make
really?
It a thing.
We have 1 follower on and it's TikTok.
So we have a TikTok and we have a Twitter, and they're all
know if the TikTok's going to stay. Guys, listen, we're trying to figure things out.
Ziva's the singer in this partnership.
Cool enough to run the TikTok. So.
And the dancer. So she will be busting out some moves.
I do not dance. Absolutely not. I don't do that.
Oh my gosh. So, but Twitter will stay. Even if no one visits, it will stay.
Yes. Yeah. It's we'll have 3 followers ever.
At having a ball pod. Same for Instagram. And
same for TikTok.
Yes. Having a ball pod at Gmail and having a ball podcast on Facebook. So with that, thank you guys.
Thank you guys. Bye-bye.
Bye.